It's hobby time. The first person we're going to have talk to us is Ellen Ringline. She runs our independent market.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me be a presenter at your training. I'm a blind person and I've been blind for a long time now. My role currently is that I manage the NFB's Independence Market, which is our blindness product store. And I want to focus mainly today on how to adapt some games and also talk a little bit about some of the games that we have as well. We like to have fun, and losing vision doesn't diminish our interest in having fun. And oftentimes that's playing games with other people. So if you are playing something like checkers, you might be able to adapt your pieces yourself rather than buying an accessible board. So we sell various stick-on bumps of different sizes and shapes. And we also have tactile marking paint that would make a raised line or whatever you want to create that's also orange. And oftentimes people use that to mark appliances, but you can also use it to mark your game pieces, for example. When I was a child, I didn't really know much about games that were already adapted that you could buy. And my parents had bought a backgammon board, and you could feel the pieces of the playing area. So the board itself was tactile already, but the game pieces were not. And I couldn't really tell the difference between the dark ones and the light ones. And so my mom just thought about, putting some stickers on them, or you could use some of these bumps here to mark one color. So it would be clear which one is a dark color, which one is a light color, and you could then play. So that principle work with other pieces as well. You might, for example, use either glue or some tactile marking paint like we have to make some raised lines on your board if you needed that. And then you could put some, bumps or some tactile marking paint, or maybe even some braille labels on some game pieces, depending on what that is. And of course, we have ways of doing that. You can create braille labels by writing on what's called dymo tape, and that is a vinyl tape that has an adhesive backing, and you can braille on that either using a slate and stylus. Or we have a braille label maker, which is a device that has a wheel that you turn. It has most of the braille symbols on there, all the letters of the alphabet, and some other symbols as well. And you turn the wheel to the letter that you want, and then you squeeze the handle, and that punches out the braille letter. So that will be one way to write on the braille labeling tape. We also have labeling sheets that are plastic, and then you can peel off the back to stick it on things, and you can cut that to size. So there you could write on the labeling sheets with a slate and stylus again, or a braille writer, which is more like a, those of you who are older would probably remember typewriters back in the day. Well, this is sort of the braille equivalent, and that's still used by people today. That would be one way that you could create braille labels. And if you're making your own braille for things, you also have the luxury of making it more useful for you, because maybe you have a tough time reading the braille playing cards because the symbols are too close together, or maybe a little bit too small. So if you're brailing your own, you could put a space in between the indicator that tells you the number and indicator that tells you the suit. Or you could use a jumbo braille slate that makes braille a little bit bigger, and braille on the card, or braille on some labeling tape or some labeling sheet, and then put that on the card. So those are some of the ways that you can adapt things. So things that we have available in our store that are already adapted, I'll start with playing cards, and we have some large print cards, and one set is just about 50% larger than standard cards, so it's not super large print. And then we have some easy see low vision cards that have, instead of having face cards, it'll have like a big K or a big J in the middle of the card, and then it has four colors instead of two, make it a little bit easier to differentiate the suits. So it will have red and blue and green and black. And then the cards games that we have that are brailled, we have two different sets of braille playing cards, and one is plastic. And some people like that because the braille stays in better shape longer. but the cards are a little slipperier to shuffle, and so some people don't like it for that reason. Then the other option would be some bicycle cards that are brailled, and those are the braille will wear out more quickly because the card basically is paper with a coating on top, but the cards are a little slippery to shuffle. Then the other card games that we have in braille are not... are only available in one type. So we have Uno, Skibbo, Phase 10, and Pinochle cards that are brailled at this time. Something else that we have, if anybody here is a cribbage player, we have a cribbage board that's used for scoring the game, and it's bigger than some of the ones I saw when I had a kid, was a kid, and the holds are bigger, and then the pegs that you use for scoring are differentiated on the top so that you can, tell them apart by touch. And then you purchase the card game separately. So sometimes you can find things that are usable out of the box. So my family likes to play dominoes, and the dominoes that are at my parents' house that we use, I can use those because they don't have raised bumps like the ones that we sell here, but they have holes in them, and the holes are big enough that I can feel the tiles without, you know, needing to adapt them. The domino set that I had when I was a kid, those, were not usable for me once I lost the rest of my vision, because those had little depressions, and for the ones that you use, they were painted on, so all the tiles felt the same. So once I could no longer see them, I gave them away to somebody else. So you know, to look at things to see if it's adaptive, if it's usable as it is. The same would be true for dice. So we sell tactile dice where the bumps are raised, and I frankly found those a little bit easier to use than the ones where it's not. But there are plenty of dice where you can feel the holes, and you can use the dice that way. Now, if it just has painted on numbers, again, you may not be able to see those, and you definitely won't be able to feel those to see if you can use those.
So, Ellen, you're just a little bit halfway through now, Ellen. Go ahead.
Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah. So I'm wanted to talk some more about some of the other games we have. So I mentioned checkers earlier. So we have a magnetic checkers that has square and round pieces, and the king pieces have like an additional thing on top so you can tell them apart from the regular ones. And then the board is magnetic, and it has one of the squares is raised and the other one is at the same level as the magnetic board. So that's how that one works. We have a backgammon that's also magnetic. And again, you have round pieces and square pieces. And then the fields are painted on, so they're a little hard to feel. So what they've done is they have put these raised lines in between the fields, so it's easy to feel where you've got your pieces. And of course, it comes with a set of tactile dice. Then we have two different kinds of dominoes. The dominoes have raised bumps, and the one set has bigger tiles, and there's like a little, actually both of these have a little dividing line between each side, so it's easy to tell what side you're feeling. And the other one, the pieces are a little bit smaller, and it comes with a magnetic board. So these are, both of them are double six dominoes. Then one thing that we have that's popular with a lot of people is, do we have any bingo aficionados in the house? Because we sell a print braille bingo card and a large print bingo card. So the large print bingo is nice, heavy-duty, sturdy cardboard, but it is totally flat, so you have to be able to see the numbers, and you know, it doesn't come with any chips or anything like that to put on it. Probably pennies is a good thing to put on there. The print braille one is a plastic card, and it has little recessed compartments for each number, and there is a print and a braille label of the number in there, and it comes with a set of poker chips that you can put on the compartment, and it won't slide out because it's got a little raised frame around the edge of the each bingo number. Then I already mentioned tactile dice. The other thing I forgot to mention here is we have a chess game. And the chess game has been adapted in an interesting way. So the board is a wooden board, and it has holes in each square. And each of the plastic chessmen has a little peg at the bottom, so you can stick it in the hole. And then to differentiate between the two colors, one is flat on the top, and the other one has a little raised knob on the top. And so that way you can feel what's happening on the chessboard and examine where each piece is without knocking things over and messing up the game. Then Something else I forgot to mention over here is we sell some people have trouble holding a lot of cards. And if that's you, then we sell card holders. So it's like two pieces of plastic that are connected with a spring. And so you can slide the cards in between the two pieces of plastic and fan them out without having to worry about, you know, holding onto them. Then the other games that I have here is one called Shut the Box, which uses tactile dice, and it has tiles that are connected to the box, numbered 1 through 9, and they're labeled in print and in Braille. And what you do is you roll the dice, and then you when you have, for example, you roll a six and a four, then you would have to put down the six and the four tile. If you rolled a three and a five, you might put those two down, or you might put the eight down. And then two other games. One is called Nine Men's Morris. That's a tactile strategy game for two. And the last game we have is a 2-in-1 game. It's called Fox and Geese and Solitaire. So Fox and Geese, you play with somebody else. It's a strategy game. And Solitaire, you play by yourself. And these boards, again, have either tactile markings on them, and or they're using different shape pegs for the different playing pieces, and they have holes in them so that you, when you're feeling the layout of the board, you're not going to knock over the pieces. So that's sort of once over lightly what we have here with games. And then
well, just 5 minutes left, Miss Ellen. Do you have things for people to sew? I bet you're going to get
that. Oh, yes. So we have some items that might be helpful if you're sewing. And, of course, the first thing that you would need to do is thread a needle. So we sell wire loop needle threaders that are, you know, commonly available elsewhere. But one of the things that it's pretty popular, it's a twin handle threader. And so the way a needle threader works is that you have a loop that is significantly bigger than the eye of a needle. And you slide that loop through the eye of the needle, and then you have a much bigger opening to put your thread through. You put your thread through that loop, and then you pull the needle threader out of the needle. And what you're doing is, once the needle threader comes out of the needle, it brings the thread with it. And all of a sudden, you have threaded your needle, and it's pretty handy. So if you want to sew on buttons or do some more serious sewing, it's a good tool. We also sell self-threading needles that some people like. And the way that those are set up is that where the eye of the needle is, there is a little notch. And so what you feel for that notch, and then you press the thread into that notch, and there's actually a little clip there. So with the pressure, you're pushing the thread past the little clip, and then your needle is threaded. And we have, you know, standard needles, size 4, 6, and 8. You get 6 of them. And then we also have cross-stitch needles that are size 24 that operate the same way. And we have sewing machine needles that operate that way. So you could use those as well if you wanted to use a sewing machine. So those would be something that I use. I'm a knitter, and I know some people are going to be talking about knitting at another time, but just a couple of tools that we have that I sometimes use. If I'm knitting a complicated pattern and I'm trying to keep track of what row I'm on, I use a device called an abacus, and it's actually was something that was designed for doing math and being able to feel, you know, tactically what you're doing. It has on it 13 rods, and there are beads on there, and depending on if it's at the top or at the bottom, it counts either for 1 or for 5. So there's a way of counting. And so you can write down your row numbers that way. And then the other thing that I use sometimes when I'm knitting a swatch to see how big, you know, how many stitches I need to do something, we have a plastic ruler that's marked every 1/8 inch, and it's labeled in raised print and in Braille. And people, you know, that's handy. And one last thing I wanted to mention here is, if we have any woodworkers out there who would like to get back into woodworking and you want to measure your wood so you can cut it to size, we sell something called a click rule that allows you to measure wood. And we also have a talking tape measure as well.
Ellen, I super appreciate you.